I'm going to read a section of my new novel called The Violin Lover. It takes place in the spring of 1935 in London, England, and the scene is one in which two of the main characters, the violin lover, Ned Abraham, a doctor and amateur violinist, and a boy named Jacob Weiss, who's a very talented pianist, 11 years old, are rehearsing a Mozart concerto for the first time for a concert. Right now, we start with Ned waiting outside the music teacher's office. Back in Leeds, there had been a time when he tried to arrive early for music, to sit near Lucy Chadwick and watch her sharp white teeth bite into the red apple she invariably brought with her. Ivory teeth. Neat little bites like struck keys. Her piano lesson took place right across the hall from his violin class with the imperious Mr. Nash. But whereas Ned always arrived disheveled, shirt untucked, boots scuffed, Lucy was the cleanest-looking person he'd ever seen. Her nails were shining white moons, and her hands spotless. She even smelled like rain. Fresh as the dawn of creation, fair hair, knife-edged and shining, eating her apple round and round. Her method fascinated Ned. She always finished with a symmetrically shaped core, which she held by the stem and popped back into her paper bag. Then she folded down the edge of the bag, ran a clean white finger along the edge to sharpen the fold, and dropped it in the dustbin. Lucy seemed able to concentrate on one thing at a time, and therefore to do it perfectly. But for Ned, the world drifted, full of conflicting enticements. So he munched apples absent-mindedly, spitting out the seeds, the sharp membrane at the center caught between his teeth. Even in school, it was his quick-wittedness, not his concentration, that saw him through. From the tail end of a teacher's query, echoing behind the sound of his own name, he could usually reconstruct the whole question and answer it. Lucy's apples became an inspiration to sharpen his attention, to do only one thing at a time and to do it properly. Even now he thought of the sun as an apple that rose each day anew to be eaten neatly around the core. Lucy became aware of his attention and smiled back shyly. Soon he started to bring apples, eating them in her methodical fashion. And after several weeks of companionable apple-eating, they began going for walks, first around the building and then outdoors in fair weather, meeting earlier and earlier. Sometimes they were actually late for their music lessons, running in apologetic and out of breath, having wandered too far deep in conversation. Lucy's teacher must have said something to Lucy's mother, who suddenly appeared, glamorous but unyielding, at the music school one day. They sat together across the hall from Ned, who heard the mother murmur as she straightened, one by one, the soft kid fingers of her gloves, that Lucy should have nothing more to do with that shabby little Jew. Within weeks, their relationship was severed. Mrs. Chadwick changed Lucy's lesson to another time, and he never saw her again. When his father disappeared a year later, Ned was better prepared for that loss than he had been for his first, the loss of Lucy. "Dr. Abraham," called a tentative young voice. "Lucy?" Ned opened his eyes with a start and saw not the distant bright angel of his dream, but Jacob Weiss, rumpled, dark, and boyish. "Oh, how are you, Jacob? Excuse me, I must have nodded off." He checked his watch. "I got here a bit early, and Miss Westrom hasn't opened her door yet." "Well, sometimes she's late, but I don't mind," Jacob hastened to add, "because she gives me extra time whenever that happens. She's very nice, Miss Westrom." "You're lucky. A nice teacher makes music much more fun. My first teacher, Mr. Nash, really," he suited his name, "he used to rap me across the knuckles with his baton when he got annoyed, and he got annoyed very easily." "Really?" said Jacob, horrified. "Miss Westrom would never hit anybody." "No, I doubt she would. Music makes her happy. But some people have higher expectations, I guess, or are more easily disappointed."
"Is there a difference?"
"That's a good question. I'd have to think about it more to be able to answer you," said Ned, laughing. Just then the door opened. A chubby blonde girl trotted out, clutching her mother's hand, and Miss Westrom's deep contralto boomed, "Come in, come in. Let's get started, gentlemen." Jacob picked up his music, Ned his violin, and they entered her big, untidy studio. It was very hot, and the dusty windows bloomed with an amazing collection of African violets. Miss Westerham wore a tight-fitting purple tweed suit, which gave rather more emphasis than was attractive to her ample behind. Nonplussed by the sight of her, and by the jungly smell of the violets, Ned momentarily forgot why he had come. "Shall we dive right in?" the woman was asking. "Or would you rather talk about the piece first? How do you find the rondo? I've always found it a bit disappointing in a way. The adagio is so unforgettable, but I can never keep the second movement in my head." "Perhaps we should play it first and see what we've each discovered on our own," Ned suggested. "I'm sure we'll find lots to talk about when we put the parts together." "How is that with you, Jacob?" Miss Westerham asked the boy. Jacob was so nervous, he just nodded. If he could only get to the piano, Mozart would rescue him, throw him a net of triplets flowing one over the other, hand over hand, and he wouldn't have to speak at all.